Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey everyone, it's Michael. Before we get started, wanted to introduce you to the Union GK Premium. With Premium, you'll get vetted pro players and coaches, interactive breakdown sessions, and exclusive content from top names. Want to try it free for 30 days? Go to unionsports.com/content/join or download the app free at the Union GK on Apple or Google Play stores. Thanks for making the Union possible, and on with the show. Welcome to Inside the 18. I'm Michael Magid, live from West Hollywood, California. With me, post-birthday celebration, the one and only 99 World Cup winner, Saskia Weber. I saw the birthday balloon, Saskia. You had a lot going on there.
I did. I got them. Yes, and you love this. I got new headphones. These aren't them, but I got Bluetooth ones just like this, so I'm super psyched about that. They're charging.
Wow, that is big time.
It's like the weird gifts you get. But yeah, I got to give a shout out to Jen Mead as well. It was her birthday. We share the same birthday. As if you guys don't know, Jen Mead, U.S. national team goalkeeper as well. We played together somewhat at the same time. Same birthday. She was one of the coaches at TST as well with me. So shout out to Jen Mead.
Shout out to Jen. And both of you guys were on the sidelines when Lindsey Harris was just going insane.
Yes.
And you were like, let's just hope she stays healthy so that neither one of us have to hop in the net.
Exactly right.
There. Oh, my gosh. By the way, shout out to all the insiders, all the fans of Inside the 18 and all the people on the Union as well, too, who wished Saskia a happy birthday. I know she really appreciated that. Everybody reaching out. We love our fans reaching out to us, regardless of whether it's soccer related or not. And speaking of non-soccer related, I went to LA Tech Week last week and I met Anthony Maldini, and he's like, hey, I have a goalkeeper you need to have on the show. And I was like, let's make this happen. So joining us all the way from Norway, we got Camille Olstinski. What's up, dude?
Hello, guys. Nice to meet you.
What time is it there?
22. Actually, it's light in outside. So, guys, today was 35 degrees in Norway. It was first time in history in Norway. Never was that warm. It's almost like in California.
Oh, Celsius. We have to clarify that. I was like, it was that cold? Did it snow?
No.
But I remember being in Sweden for the 95 World Cup, and I remember the summer, and the sun never went down. And that I remember. So you had these like huge, heavy shades on your windows so you could get some darkness in your room.
I tell you one story about it. When I was in 1.5 year in Tromsø, in the top level, in the north of Norway, from May until August is it never darkness. So it's 24-hour sun in the top. So my windows, some of the windows was painting dark because you have to fall asleep.
Yeah.
So that was really, really special, really, really strange time. So, but really exciting.
Yeah, no, I remember that. And it's like, it's not like it is outside right now. It's like, it was this weird, like kind of red hue, like kind of, it's kind of like if you're on the East Coast and it's snowing kind of a look, like it's like, but it doesn't, so you need, and you can't get sleep because it's light.
No,
so
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Does it feel like, Camille, does it feel like you should just be going out there and running a goalkeeper session at 1 a.m.? Like, does it feel like that?
You know, we have late training, but when Tom says was in the top level, so we have to fall asleep anyway. So some of the players have to eat the pills to fall asleep because they struggle, especially not local players, especially the foreigners, guys who is coming from other country. They've been eating pills from the doctor because they cannot sleep. So if you don't fall asleep, you are not ready for the session tomorrow. So that was a very, very strange time. So, but really, really awesome. So funny, funny time.
That must be like such a, like just such a, such a trip, Suska. I mean, you know, I can just imagine. Well, just, and I know obviously in the women's game, a lot of people go over to Scandinavia to play.
Yeah. Well, we had these in the hotel. We had like the shutters on the hotel with like these really heavy steel shutters. Like they would close, like they'd lock you in, you're like in a safe room. And so like no light would get in because you couldn't, like it was, it really threw you off. And we were there for the entire, like, you know, obviously for the entire month, longer than that. So. And we lost, so maybe that's why.
well,
we lost Camille, to Norway in the quarterfinals. So,
well, Camille, for some people who are not your sister, who shout out is watching the show right now, I believe. So shout out to Anna who's watching the show right now. Why don't you tell a little bit of the people here, maybe who are watching from the United States, who might not be familiar with the Norwegian top division, how that all works.
How the question one more time about Norwegian league, yeah?
Yeah, just like I think a lot of us were familiar, you know, obviously with the Southern European leagues, but the Scandinavian leagues are a little bit foreign to.
Yeah, you know, actually Norwegian league is the league which is recognized by Rosenborg, RBK Rosenborg from the 90s or 2000. When Rosenborg beat Real Madrid at Lerkendal, the club and the stadium which is really popular here in Norway, when John Carew played there, when the most popular players played actually at this time, this was the time when the Norwegian system and maybe formation, really directive formation starts, because this is Norwegian football is actually really recognized as a really directly backstage football, when the people always winning second balls, goalkeepers is really directly. This was history of the football in Norway and goalkeepers. Right now, many coaches won't include goalkeepers as a players, not as a goalkeepers. Which of course artificial ground, when it's 90% of the pitches is artificial, it helps a lot to be one of the players, not only ball stoppers. This was our key in Tromsø when I arrived as a goalkeeper coach. I have foreigner player Jakob Helgor, Danish goalkeeper from Stoke. He was really injured when he came to the club. But we knew it that he is extremely good with the choice risk with his face. And this was the key, because right now I think 90-95% of the goalkeepers everywhere, every league, hitting the target. But it's not about target, it's about the choices. And also the players who you have front to you, opponents, like, of course, City or Barcelona, Ter Stegen, Ederson, this is not about them skills. It's about players front to you and how the coaches want to play for you. So the Tromsø, there was like, how to call it, identity. So the identity we work about it was help me as a goalkeeper coach develop myself around it. Because I had to change all the way my goalkeeper coach style. I have to fit to the main coach idea. So so this was really, really strange in the beginning, but this fits because everything was working. Also the kids around all the system in the junior football, kids football also start work as a one identity, because we want goalkeeper be included. And this is going for Norwegian football in the future, because we see at other clubs like Brann Bergen, which is really offensive team who using wings, goalkeeper have crazy direct long passes, so it's like I say, goalkeeper culture getting better and better and better with the man side, but not with the woman side. We still struggle. So that's the problem.
Saskia, I just heard that right there. Maybe some opportunities for some young coaches in the United States to head over to Norway if they're struggling on that. And I do want to talk to you, Saskia, about this really quickly, you know, what Camille just brought up in regards to identity. And I think that's something that's really important for young coaches out there to hear. I don't know if you agree, is that you need to find not only your own identity as a coach, but you need to recognize the identity of your club and how you as a coach fit into that.
No, absolutely. I mean, you can't come in to a pro or any club or school or whatever and say, well, this is the way I coach. This is the way I coach goalkeepers. And that's it. You know, if it's an attacking mentality, if the team is using the keeper as an 11, which now everybody is, then you have to be able to coach that as well. And, you know, Camille, you're absolutely right. It's not just sending the ball long. It's a targeted situation. Are we using wingers? Is that ball, are you bypassing lines and serving that ball up to lead your wingers? Like, or are you finding like a target nine on a long pass to feed the balls off? Like, what is the identity of the team and the system and the flow that they're playing in?
I really agree with you, Saskia. It's just like also many people forget that the goalkeeper coach is also assistant coach.
Yes.
In some way. You know, I have the pleasure to work with Gauta and other coaches, and I was in every pre-speech, meetings, after an analyze, we start the day in the 7 in the morning, we finish 6 in the evening every day, and we analyze trainings twice, we analyze every player twice, how we won it. And this was actually really huge step for my career to understanding even more what they're thinking, and to prepare myself from to them. And because I have one rule, which was 4,800 minutes during the 44 weeks that we have in the season, so all the season, 44 weeks in Norwegian football. So this 4,800 minutes was I have 45 minutes every day, even if it's sessions before the match, I have to be before with my goalies, and this was my kind of identity to prepare myself with the grip, with the passes, with some ability exercises, which I don't use this later in the own session, because coach always, every day, he wants our goalies included for the free play. He wants to include it for the field count, like boxes. He wants to include them for the possession. So to make this identity even more stronger. So I don't have the time to use actually goalies as a goalies. So this was my identity to use my program 4,800 minutes, and goalies accepted, because we also building the injuries, and we this is scatter for beginning in Norwegian. It means like we try to don't be injured because of the weather, which is always cold upstairs in Norway, which your body is very cold quick. So you have to warm up longer to be ready. So this was actually really, really good and excitement time to prepare myself and my goal is always what coach wanted.
Right.
And I always have to have, and this is the crazy, because I don't have to have plan B. I have to have plan C and D. So because every time was that, everyone was just changing every minute. So goalies have to be flexible, because I have to change him because of the weather. Sometimes it was snowing and we have to change all the plan. Sometimes it was like tornado.
Tornado? So
kind of tornado, you know what I mean? It was like snow tornado.
Oh my gosh.
And then you have to jump in. So this was like to be flexible. And also coach have also sometimes bad day or how to call it. So this was really flexible time to work with the people like this, with this identity. And they are now, because I've been living Tromsø because of my family situation, and they are in the third position because of this identity. They're working every in the club, want the same things. And last thing was like, they really, really, really believe of each other. And this is getting changing in Norwegian culture, because Norwegian is not, the people in Norway, they are not so happy. like you, American. So Norwegian.
Not so happy like us Americans.
Because the sun doesn't go down or it doesn't come up for like 6 months.
Oh my God. Actually, Camille has smiled more than most Norwegians.
I've met. Oh,
thank you. But I feel myself Polish.
You know what you're, but it is really important. And I love what you were saying about the fact that, you know, when you get to the session, you know, depending on what the team wants and the structure of the session, like the goalkeepers are, you know, whether they're doing, you know, they're ingrained right away. So you have to find the time to train your goalkeepers with their goal, you know, whether it's, you know, handling crosses and stuff like that, because then when you get to the session, you only have so much time. The difference in America, if we're talking college, is here's the biggest problem for college coaches is you're not allowed to. And so your players are only allowed to train a certain amount of hours a week, period. And so because of school. And so you literally don't have the time to do that. You have to create your session so you can train your goalkeepers and put them in with the team.
My God.
They don't have time.
Then you have to be, this is special.
Because that's college. College.
Yeah. Then you have to be really, really quick and effective. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So, because I've been working also in academy, which is calling Wang before, at the same time, I was working with the women's side in the top level. I have free time. I have actually free time as a goalkeeper coach, and I have eight goalkeepers, which was with, I decided what I wanted and who I choose to go and play with the team. So it was a little bit different. Our college was a little bit, how to call it, more flexible and more directed for the goalkeeper culture.
So, I mean,
Started, Camille.
Usually the way the way I dealt with it at UCLA and stuff was usually, you know, you have the keepers for warm up instead of them warming up with the team. So you have to like ingrain and you have to use a lot of that warm up time to train them as well. Then they go with the team. Then if you have four goalkeepers, two are with the team. And this was the hard part. And then you're training two on the side, but I can't watch the starting goalkeepers because I'm training other people. So I would have to set up their training so that reserve players that weren't playing were running them through the drills. So I could watch what they were doing in small sided or whatever. So
exactly.
In college, it's a hard thing. In pro, yes, you can go out.
Yeah, that's training, different. Yeah.
Then they can go. Do you know
this is interesting? Do you guys in pro have also like a kind of new trend to have two or three goalkeeper coaches at the same one session? Because, you know, trust me, I speak a lot of with the people, of course, from England.
That would be amazing. Even at the professional level,
I
a lot of times
you, I don't
one
know.
Goalkeeper coach.
I mean, there might be an assistant just helping, but I don't know a team, and I might be wrong. And like Dan Ball, and you guys tell me if I'm wrong about this, but I don't know a team that's got two goalkeeper coaches, which would be incredible.
I know at LAFC, we know this because Omar Zini, who's worked with us for quite a while, he is the goalkeeper coach for the reserve team, but he's also the assistant goalkeeper coach for the first
team. But that's different because they have the dual teams.
Exactly. Exactly.
That helps. When you're with the NWSL, you don't have that. So you don't have,
Yeah, guys, we're dreaming less. Like Arsenal have three goalkeeper coaches in Aki Kania and two assistants. Awesome.
That's amazing.
That's amazing. You know, this trend is coming in Polish league a little bit in the top clubs in Norway, in the top. Like we're talking about Bodø Glimt, we're talking about the Brann. This is the guys who is like you say in second team. They come into the first team. But I think that will be key for development because you don't have to focus in just only for serving. You can focus in on different angles. You can choose the rules. You can choose them. You doing this one, I doing this one. I see the feet, how the goalkeeper moving himself in the goal. And then you working with the quality. I think it will be awesome.
Yeah, I mean, usually what I did for when I was coaching was, I go back to those reserves or players coming off injured reserve. Like you have to do what you can with what you have. And so if they were cleared to actually strike a ball, they would come to me. And so I would set them up. They'd know this type of service or what we were doing, so I could be with the keepers, because I like being in the goal or behind the goal with the keepers and seeing their angles and seeing the everything same instead of me kicking a ball. So
And then you feel them better. You feel them better when you stay behind them. I agree.
Saskia, this question from Taco Alexander, I think it's best for you right here, because he's coming from Bahrain, and he was asking if you, because obviously in the college game, if you're working with limited time, like you just said, how do you manage the goalkeeper training to meet up with the main team training so as to play as a team?
So usually, Taco, like I was saying, basically there's this, the coaches and I would work together. And so what's the plan for today? What's the training session this week? This is when we need the goalkeepers. And I'd be like, okay, so I'm taking them for warm up. Their warm up, I would make sure that their warm up dealt with. It wasn't, they weren't with a team warm up and the physio and jogging. They were with me, and my warm ups were set up so that includes handling, that includes striking the ball and footwork. So you kind of like, you have to change that mentality. You have to be like, they have to start handling immediately. They have to start using their feet immediately, because I've got 30 minutes and then they're going with the team. And so that's how it would have to happen. But you have to have that communication with your coaches. You can't just walk out to the field and all of a sudden then be like, hey, we need the goalkeepers in 10 minutes. And by the way, we're doing flying changes and they have to be able to extend to the upper 90.
I think that's such a great point, Saskia, that you're bringing up, and Camille, obviously you were talking about different weather and affecting that. So you have to be, you have to be aware of this when you are preparing these goalkeepers, because if they are going off to the team and it is a snow tornado, well, you got to prepare them for dealing with actual contact in that environment.
I really agree with you guys. You have to be really flexible, but at the same time, you have to feel them. So we probably talk a little bit about that. They have to trust you in the process, because when you say to them, we have to have supplement training, which we're going first to the gym and do some tennis balls, some balance, which I am really focusing on balance all the time, every day, almost on the balance of the warm up with the balance, with Bosu ball and stuff like this. We do this prep warm up in the gym, and then we go out of the pitch. So already ready to be kind of do some oh my guys, my ex guys. like you see, this is happiness, a lot of happiness, a lot of conversation.
And even commit with the gym for me, and I keep going back to the college thing just to manage time. So part of that, their training, obviously they go inside, they go to our trainers for the gym, but I made sure I sat down with our head strength and conditioning coach. And I said, this is what my goalkeepers need to work on in the gym. So they weren't just doing the same training session that the field players were doing. They were focusing on whether it was explosive stuff I needed, whether it was quick twitch, whether it was balance, things that the field players wouldn't be. So they had separate things set up, because I couldn't be in there with them, because that moves into those minutes we're talking about that I can't do. But I made sure, again, it's all communication.
Exactly. The communication is the key. And, I start learning, before goalies have ego. we have huge ego, and sometimes we've been not listen coaches. When you become a goalkeeper coach, you have to be different, because you have to have communication. Even if the coach or someone have bad day, you have to have good day, because you have response for the goalkeepers, your guys, which is your mirror. And sometimes, like I say, I have to be flexible. But I have to be flexible for the main coach who decided over me. And my relation with the goalie is actually this is the key, probably was always the key, to tell them, to explain them, our plan is changing, we have to do this, and they have to trust the process, because like I say, I own this process, we own together this process. So I think, like you say, communication is the key. Not only my communication with them, but communication with everybody around. So,
Yeah. I want to bring up this right here as we kind of can get into today's topic. And I think, you know, we've been touching a little bit on it in regards to, you know, building trust, because I think it's such a massive, massive topic and so important, especially for young coaches. I love this quote here from Iker Casillas that you put here, Camille, about, I don't want to be remembered as a good goalkeeper. I want to be remembered as a good person, because I think it is our responsibility to build good people, not just great goalkeepers, great people. And you need to be able to build that relationship with that goalkeeper, that they trust you as such that even anything that not doing with goalkeeping, they're willing to listen to you.
Definitely. You know, these quotes I use also, I've been using for myself when I was playing, but I also using for every ages, even for the goalkeepers who've been playing in Premier League and top in the league last year. And we've been trying to follow this, and that's make you kind of reflecting up is that up to be goalkeeper is an honor, because you represent the club, you represent yourself, you represent your dreams, because we are such a crazy about staying in the goal. We love this. This is hopeless. My nose is broken. My finger is destroyed. I will love it. And if you have this feeling as a goalkeeper coach, and you also come in with this kind of quote up, be remembered as a good person, it's easier to build a group. It's easier to, maybe it's wrong to say, but manipulate it, the goalkeepers in a positive way. You know what I mean? Because this is the thing we want to be good as a goalkeepers, but also the person. So this always was like a beautiful quote.
You know, I love one of the things that you just said right there, Camille, and it was actually making me think, Saskia, that when you are a goalkeeper, and let's just take you, for example, you know, obviously, you know, winning a World Cup with the U.S. and gold medal and everything and being part of those really, really powerful teams, that the fact that you are a goalkeeper, there has to be a trust by U.S. soccer that you're going to represent yourself in a way that is indicative of that type of a program.
Yeah, but yes, you're not just there to represent yourself. You're not selfish. You know, and if you're that type of a goalkeeper, I don't think you'll go far, no matter how good you are, because you have to have, as a goalkeeper, the trust of your team, of your company, of whether it's, you know, the national team, whether it's your pro team, whether it's the fans. And, you know, you give trust to get trust. And if your teammates look at you and respect you and look at you on you as a good person, they're going to play for you. And that's what you want. If you're an a-hole, like they're not going to fight for you. And nor do you, I would rather have it, you know, a good goalkeeper, one and two are so close, or one and one and a half, like I say. And if I have an arrogant, selfish goalkeeper, and I have one that is a team player, a community person, and just an all-around good person, I'm going to go with that other person, even if you're a little bit better, because I can make the goalkeeper a better goalkeeper, right? Definitely. But and their willingness to learn is part of being a good person.
Yeah. You know, I love what you
just
said.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
Now, Camille, my Norwegian's a little rusty, so you may have to help me.
I know. You know, am I missing something here?
You know what? It looks like is, yeah. I was gonna say it looks like when you put something into a document, cut and paste, and you cut and paste, and it accidentally it's accidentally translated into a different language when you paste it.
I see keeper.
something about the role of the goalkeeper, I think, right?
Yeah, exactly. This was like the main key. Sorry, guys, we can skip it, because this is the presentation when I use it for everybody, for parents, for the young coaches who can be the goalkeeper. So it's like them can be a keeper, who can be goalkeeper, beautiful build of a keeper, why you want to be keeper. So this is just like a question for the people to reflect and make this rule special, because people just think, stay in the goal. You are not good in football, just go to the goal. No, because this question make this rule special, because I think this is the most special rule you can have it, because this is the most wonderful rule. Rule but to life, there is no difference between a match and training session. They are equal important. What do you think, guys?
I mean, I think in regards to at if the way somebody handles themselves, and also I think that's where that kind of the trust comes in too, Saskia, is like, if you trust that your coach, you know, is there to develop you, you're going to treat that environment the same way you treat the game environment, because absolutely, you know, you're getting something out of it. I think where it falls sometimes, Saskia, and I don't know how you agree, or Camille, if you agree, if their goalkeeper is not in a good communication with the goalkeeper, they may treat the games as important. And I've seen this happen when they go on, when a player goes on loan, they're all about the games, but they don't treat the environment, the practice environment. But then
it goes back to giving respect and getting respect. If you are not at 100% every time you step on the field, and that's in the training environment too, that's going to reflect on your play. And you know, you have field players out there that are giving 100%, putting as much in, and you're not. And let's say you're playing small side or something, and you're failing them in this, then you're losing trust of them. That when it how's that translate onto the game field? If they know that every time you're behind them and you step on the field, you are giving it 110%. Period.
Yeah.
They know that they can trust you on during the game. Like you can't, definitely, you can't, you know, not bring it in practice. I love practice.
I loved it. You know, I'm really agree with you guys, and also I'm thinking, the goalkeeper coaches, they are actually, we are service people. We give the service for them. And if our service is 110% for them, this is going circle. This come back to us. This always will come back to us. And this, and the value of the training will definitely come to you back.
Yeah. I mean, if you're not bringing it in practice, you're not getting what you're supposed to out of training.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think this is I was going to say, this is good, because this is how you build trust with a goalkeeper, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Is with definitely. This.
But we talk about this all the time, that sessions nowadays, the way sessions are developed by the field player coaches, is it's game realistic. And we say that, you know, you can only do so much, you know, whether it's moving through cones and, like, you know, repetitive motion, but what you need is game realistic situations in training. And how are you going to react to it? Because I expect you to react that way in the game. So if you're not bringing it, you're not getting anything out of it.
I agree with you. You know, I'm also thinking about great service. The service is not only in the pitch. The service is also out of the pitch. They are also human beings. They have also problems. They lose their, they are sick, they have parents, they have family, they have kids, they finish with a boyfriend, girlfriend or something. Do you have to feel these people? You have to be close to them. I've been doing a lot of mistakes to just sometimes focusing too much about goalies, about goalkeeper things. But I also have to understand it, but they are not me. They are not, they have also other things behind the football. So, like I said, dialogue and communication and understanding them also, even if I am not agree with them, that was actually really important. It just make the great service even better.
So. Yeah, and that's so huge. We talk about this, especially on the youth level and stuff, but it goes all the way to the pro level. There's so many other things going on in people's lives. So, you know, the reason they might not be performing so great in a session, it might be something that's outside of soccer. And so you have to be close with your goalkeepers. You have to have communication and pull Jimmy aside and say, Jimmy, what's going on? I know that you're a little off today, and maybe he wasn't doing well in school, or maybe his parents are fighting, or maybe he and his girlfriend broke up. But you have to be able to understand. You can't just come in with blinders on saying everybody brings it 100% and you're not doing well today. There's a reason.
Yeah,
exactly. You know, sometimes the day off can give you two amazing sessions from after this. But you have to feel them. You know, it's easier for us who've been playing football before, which kind of different level. Of course, you are such a legend, so it's a little bit different. But even in the lower level, we understand that football is not only football. It's also feelings. Right. It's also problems. People tackle bad match very difficult in the lower level, on the youth level. They're thinking about this at home. They're thinking about this. They struggle with the connection with others because they have a terrible match. So also I'm thinking, maybe if it's okay for you guys, I say, I have the rules. I have 3 second rules. When you miss the goal, if you're counting until, even if you're in top level or the kid, 6, 7 years, you have to counting until 3 to quick forget it, because we need you for the next situation.
Yeah.
So we try to work with the mental, because mentality is just affecting you mm-hmm. very quickly. So this was like kind of my idea I do with every goalie.
Yeah, I was always like, it's not the mistake, it's how you react to the mistake. And I'm like, and you know, I say that all the time. Are you following one mistake by another mistake, or are you leaving the mistake behind and moving on? And exactly. And that's all in your head. And so, mm-hmm. and so, you know, if it's, you know, preventable. So, but yeah. And you can't be a coach that is like, oh, you know, they know they made the mistake, but it's mm-hmm. how do they respond to it? And
exactly.
It's about being connected with your goalkeepers.
Yeah, and you have to reacting very quick, because in the top level, you don't have time. You will be smashed. You will be smashed very quickly. So that's actually you, as a goalkeeper coach, how you're acting around them.
Yeah.
That helped them to forget it. I have the huge pleasure last year to have connection with one of the goalies with which he struggled with the matches. Because he don't play so many matches last year. So when he come to us, he become one of the most important players in the team. So his start was not the best one. So I always never sit. I always stand in the bench to have connection, eye connection with him, and give him some advice, not advices, but just tips. Okay, yeah. Good one. Tranquilo, yeah. Easy. Something, feel him a little bit like kind of. And this was actually the trust. I got mm-hmm. the trust, which make me really proud, because he become really huge after the while, after these small things. So I don't say it's because of me, but maybe this was 5% of his development, this kind of connection what we had it. So it was like, honestly.
No, I had that, and Mike knows I had that with Lauren, where when I came into UCLA, she like was struggling. She almost wanted to quit because I'll say it, I don't care. The keeper coach before me was not positive, was very yelling and screaming and negative. And one of my other goalkeepers was going to quit and everything. And I'm not like that. And I'm very connected to my goalkeepers. And, you know, and now she's playing pro and I'm super proud of her. My other one's playing for the Venezuela's national team and everything like that.
Congratulations.
But it's so important, that connection. I used to sit on the bench and like Lauren with, I don't know, she kept shanking a service and the head coach would get so angry and look at and be like, why don't you yell at her or something? I'm like, what is that going to do? Do you think that she knows she keeps shanking the ball? Me yelling at her right now is just going to send her spiraling. I just would look at her and just be like, calm down, like take it slow, you know, but I'm not yelling at anybody. Like, you know, they're adults. They know what they're doing wrong.
Yeah.
Exactly. I really agree with you. So you can, by your position, by your connection with mm-hmm. them, you can just make them more comfortable. Mm-hmm. Of course, your expectation is huge, but they play in the pro, even they've been huge before, they need someone. They need someone to say something, to feel it, to understand they are not alone in this goal. So this is the connection and trust, I think.
Yeah, I want to bring this up really, really quickly before we move on right here, Camille, because I love the fact that you've got honesty in there, and you got honesty apparently in 2 languages. That's how important honesty is. you need to put it in multiple languages. I think personally that until you've developed that trust, especially if you bring a new goalkeeper into your environment, you can't be honest until they buy into you. So how do you develop that relationship, and when is the time to start being more specific and being more honest with them?
That's the question for me or to Saskia?
I kind of disagree with you, Mike.
Okay.
I disagree with you because I think that you gain trust by being honest. And and it's your delivery in it. So the minute, even if a new goalkeeper comes in, it's how you communicate that honesty, but that's what they want, you know? And so I think you, they will automatically, they will buy in really quickly if the more honest you are and the more.
But I'm agree, but to be honest, you have to be serious yourself.
Yeah.
You have to be quality. You have to be this guy who, okay, I want to trust this guy because this guy is awesome for me. He know what he's doing. He is honest with me. He see positive things about me, but he see also negative things about me, which is between me and him, because we trust each other. We make the process. We sit each other and say, come on, man, you struggle with the crosses. We will work about it. But remember, this is between you and me, and we're going to make it. You are unbelievable one-on-one, but we have to make your X factor even better X factor. But then we have to work about it, not only talking, because people see effects and goalies need the effects. Mm-hmm. They want to be effective. And to be honest with them, you as a goalkeeper coach have to be effective. Mm-hmm. So if you are effective and in the pitch, you're coming in before the session, you're preparing for the session, you not make them embarrassed. Because that's also other things. The juniors can feel themselves embarrassed if you say from to others, oh, this was bad decision. I never say something from to others. I can say face to face to the main coach, come on, this was bad decision, but I will take them face to face. Because they have huge response, because if they lose the ball, they lose the goal. So I have to be the guy who protect them, but in the same time, I can tell them straight to their face, just only because of my quality, how I am as a goalkeeper coach.
Well, yeah, I just want to add up real quick here for anybody who's worked with me for the first time. I'm not lying to you.
But I know.
You know what I meant.
I know what you meant. I just feel that, I agree with Camille. I think that you have to say, you have to break things down, whether that's if it's in film and say, listen, you're really struggling. Let's say you're always overplaying the near post and stuff. Show that to them. And it's constructive criticism. And then set your sessions up so that you're showing them why and how to work on it. And you're getting something out because they know what they're doing wrong. So like, you know, you have an arrogant goalkeeper comes in and says, well, I'm great at everything. No, let's look at this. Let's break this down. Let's have this discussion one-on-one and see what we can do to better your positioning or better yourself on crosses and everything. Mm-hmm. Yes, you're great at 1v1s, but you know, we need to tweak this because intrinsically, you know what you're not good at. I wasn't that great at. So, thank God we didn't play with the 11 back then. So
what I just meant is that let's say you get a new goalkeeper who just comes into your club. Maybe they're on trial or, that you were just signed or whatever. The way that you can speak to them, you're obviously going to be honest with them as well, but there's not a prior relationship. So you need to find out what behaviors work in order to get the most out of them because you don't know this person yet.
But I think if you've also set up a good environment, so if they come in and they see the way the other goalkeepers that they're training with respond to you and how everybody's engaging and stuff, that immediately sets an environment and it sets a precedence.
That's a great point. I really agree with you guys. And Scott, you're going to the point. But also I think we as a goalkeeper coaches and we feel the people, we feel the goalies, we feel them, we feel if they are struggle, we make them, we are kind of entrance for them to the team, if special after bad matches, special after like you say to the tryout or stuff like this. We as the goalkeeper coaches, we are kind of fathers or mothers, people, and a little bit kind of older brother who can give you advice. But at the same time, we don't telling. We protect you, but we also want you to be good. So this kind of entrance people, like I'm calling them.
I want to bring this up right here. So I want to start playing some. I'll turn off the volume. Right here. Yeah. So I want to start showing some of Camille's sessions here because I think Camille. I think we talked about this. The fact that your sessions can also build trust for the goalkeepers because if they if they agree, if they, based on seeing the session design, they go, oh, this is benefiting me. I'm growing from this. Oh, I see how this is relevant to the game. They're going to trust you.
You know, I'm really agree with you. This session, it's included everybody. It's just, of course, this is easy drill. Like you see, we never missing any moment. We don't missing any ball. We're working with the quality. This is actually a balanced situation with different angles. I'm really fan of quality serving. I'm really huge fan of the short moments, not many position, many things. I think we as a goalkeeper have to warm up well, be serving to each other perfect, because we have to, like I say, I love explosive moments, but at the same time, I'm really fan of working with the balance. And aptitude, my aptitudes as a goalkeeper coach helps and infect others. So if I am into the session, it's easier as the young goalkeepers or even older goalkeepers, they are also into the session.
I think you're definitely on the same page as Saskia. You know, I mean, this is a conversation, Saskia, I've had with people, and I've been a victim of this myself, in which, you know, I have not been as engaged in the session. Let's say it's session three at a ID camp and it's hot, it's 98 degrees out there, and I'm starting to check out, and I have to recognize the fact that if I check out, how can I expect the goalkeepers not to check out?
Right. It's their third session too. Mm-hmm. You know, I like what you said about quality service, and I'm really big on that as well. And it kind of goes back to that trust. And actually, there were times that, you know, I had keepers that were having a bad day, and they're serving their other keepers and giving them bad services. And like, I would have to stop the session, bring them over, and I'd be like, if you can control anything right now, you can't control what's going on off this pitch right now, but you can control that. You have to train your fellow teammate and respect them and just focus on the service. I love clean services and everything, but at the same time, especially in this kind of a setting, in these kind of drills and everything, clean service is huge. When it gets to like the chaos of a game, you have to do that as well. You have to have bad services and everything.
Definitely. What I want to say also, we make each other good, because if I am as I make you good as my partner, as the other goalie, you will make me good back, because my quality make your quality better. And this is coming in the circle. So I'm really agree. And this you making by relation, by trust to each other, by the same idea, by the same plan, by the standards you make it, but how you are as a goalkeeper coach. Because if you have quality standards, when you have value, you have your routines, you have your, how you want to develop things also about yourself. This is actually good things I got from the main coach last year. He said to me, Camille, why coaches are good or not good? I said, hard question. I said, you know, because you as a coach, you have to first work with yourself to be better as a person, about develop yourself, understand others, and then it's easier to develop others, because you want to build in yourself. So I'm to be here with you guys. I'm also feeling myself like I'm getting better. I'm getting more rich with my experience, my ideas, and then I can use this experience and this ideas tomorrow in the session. So I think this is also how I would say, develop each other.
Yeah.
I absolutely love what you just said right there, Camille. Man, you kind of made this is one of my those head exploding moments, Saskia, for me. But it's so true. I think, you know, one of the things is that, you know, so many times as coaches, you know, we're focused on wanting to make other people better and, you know, improving them. We don't stop back to think, okay, the only way we're going to make others better is by consistently improving ourselves, you know? So we have to look internally as well, not selfishly.
But Camila even said it when he came, and now like the change has been, you know, that you have basically an 11 and now, you know, the keeper's so played in and is a field player like that. Yeah. Well, that wasn't the way I was, like, it wasn't how it was when I played as much, you know, we were kind of ahead of the curve a little bit, but I had to make myself better to coach goalkeepers to do that. I couldn't just roll in and just coach keepers the way I was coached that long ago. Like, I had to say, what are the changes? How am I going to be better? How am I going to keep up with the pace of the game and how things are changing? And you always have to do that.
Yeah, definitely. You know, and also I think that now is the every day is developing. Everything is new. I'm coming new ideas, new things are about our role as a goalkeeper coaches, people who work with the goalkeepers. But I think focusing for the details make your goal is also see that you are right person in the right place, because you see the things like nobody else see. This means like you care, and then I can trust you as a goalkeeper. So it's this focusing for details in the good balance way is giving us huge impact for the goalies.
Yeah,
you know, I, in regards to what you just said right there, Camille, I was just kind of thinking about this, that getting back to trust, right? We're getting back to trust. If a player sees you putting in that time on your own to work on becoming a better coach and designing sessions and, you know, asking for feedback on what they liked and what they didn't like about the last session and how can they improve it so it's better for them? What do they want? They're really going to trust you because they're going to believe that you've got, you know, their best interest at heart.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to talk about this, you know, and Saskia, I'll relate this to you here because we were talking about the college environment. I think this is very important. The building the trust, not only with the coach, but also building the trust with the other players too, for the goalkeeper. You know, I know you've seen this kind of go back and forth in different directions. How does that change in regards to, we talk about the goalkeeper coach being an assistant coach.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, if they're an assistant coach, they need to be trusted by the outfield players too, mm-hmm. that they know what they're doing.
Absolutely. And that comes also from the top down. That comes from the head coach allowing you and giving you that power to, you know, take the defenders and work with the goalkeepers and work with a group, not just isolate you and the goalkeepers, so that you build that trust from the back forward. And then, you know, we would have it so that I would have the attackers and the goalkeepers and I would talk to them and we'd set up drills and I'd be like, this is what you need to look for to expose the goalkeeper. Look at what you're doing. And so they built that trust in me as well. But that comes from setting up proper situations and proper training sessions so that you're integrated into that. When it comes to free kicks, I'm in the goal and I'm telling the attacker on the ball what they should look for. I might even be behind them and not behind the keepers and be like, look what she's exposing right now and go punish her. Like I would tell the attackers that all the time. Okay, so-and-so's too far off her line. Look up, punish her. Because that's the only way she's going to learn right now as well. And that's how you can look at it. And so that I would gain that trust, but I was given that room to do that. So if you have a head coach that doesn't give you that, then it's going to be harder to gain the trust of the rest of your team.
I really agree with you. And this is always all about main coach, how he included you. And of course, I think this is you, with the experience as you have it, you give such a good advice for the strikers, defenders. And this is the team play. So we have to trust each other. We as the goalkeepers, we are last position for people who see all the view, and you staying behind the goal to the goal is you see how the defender should cover the first post or not first post. And it's all about the quality that you're giving or experience like you have it, and also how great you are and you've been in this situation. So I think it's also this professionality like you have as a goalkeeper coach around your goal is, it seems very effective and people see it, the defenders, other strikers, they see what you're doing, guys. it's actually right.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, kind of getting back to that in regards to like the process too, right? The process of the coach with the goalkeepers, with the outfield players. I think one of the most difficult things I've found, Camille, especially working with youth goalkeepers, is they can sometimes lose trust because they don't see themselves growing, and they have to start recognizing it's a long path, man. I can't tell you how many times I've had a 9 or 10 year old get frustrated and just wanting to go back to their old habits because it was easier for them.
Yeah. But isn't it one of the, go ahead, Camille.
Yeah. You could keep going, please.
But isn't one of the best things is that eventually, haven't you had those moments when that young player has come off of a game in the weekend, maybe you're not there, and then be like, oh my God, coach, remember how we were working on through balls and timing? I finally got the timing right. I finally got the positioning right. I get it now. And it clicks, you know, and yeah, it takes time, but it's some of the most rewarding things when they start seeing things differently and they start like implementing what you've been teaching them. Sorry, those are some great moments.
Yeah, definitely. And come back to the young people who stop belief of themselves. You as a goalkeeper, you believe them. You make them. Because we have huge feeling to this position. And we see goalkeeper coaches who care or don't care. I care about every goalkeeper. My goal is even number 4. The most about number 4, because no one see him. I have to see him. I have to give him supplements, trainings after all the session, because everybody play. He didn't play. I have to make him give him extra session and believe of him, because this is the most important goalie for me. Because without him, I don't have the keeper group. Without Simon Thomas, which is Canadian, I will never have Jakub Heugor as the first goalkeeper. Because he was my main key to push Jacob. Without believeness, without push him in the right way, in the right moment, give him extra trainings, calling him, make good relationship with him, I will never have Jacob in this kind of level. And this also with the small kids, and because small kids they see effect very quick. They see when you happy, they become very happy. When you exciting about good saves, when you are exciting about the good choices, because when you feel them, when a 12 year old kid make you excellent save and you say, oh, this is perfect, this is what we needed. And make mistakes. Come on, next one, forget it. 3 seconds rules. This kind of things, like you as a goalkeeper coach, feel them all the way. Instead to just go and take coffee when they start playing matching, you follow them. You say, this giving a lot. This giving actually a lot for them, and this can be key for them to never miss motivation, because we are alone. We are the goalkeepers. We are alone, like I said before. And if we have goalkeeper coach who follow you all the time and give you this advice and they give you this feeling, that make it huge impact in the future.
I want to bring this up right here because we just had a parent pop in the comment section. Shout out to Kim Campbell and the whole Campbell clan. Crazy that Jamie's heading off to University of Colorado very soon. Woo! Now. How nuts! But I want to bring up the parents thing, and Siski, I'm going to bring this up with you because obviously in the youth game here in the United States and even in the college game, the parents are a little bit more prevalent than I believe they are in the professional game overseas. That is a difficult thing sometimes, because sometimes there's not a trust with the parents, you know, of trusting the process of what you're doing with them, even though the goalkeepers themselves are on board.
Again, it's communication, you know, but you're always going to have those parents. You're always going to have those parents that think they know it better, think they should be telling you what to do, but they, you know, it's the way you approach it. It's the communication. And it's also, you know, show the development, like look at where little Joey's gotten, or, you know, little Jamie has gotten from here to there. And they have to trust the process and see it as well. But to be honest with you, parents need to kind of step back. you know, they need to step up.
This is the same problem here. You know, in Norway, we have something which is calling dugnad.
Not you, Kim. I love you, Kim. You're
fine. this is, like I say, it's dugnad. And when parents are coaches, which I actually, I don't accept it, supposed to never happen. And they supposed to never say something how we develop goalies. But we as a goalkeeper coaches, we own our this is only your own project. You have to own your own project. And I, of course, you can hear everybody, but no one can give you advices, because this is you. You know the goal is the best.
Yeah.
You know, and I think, you know, that's something I was actually just thinking about in regards to, like, not just, you know, your relationship with the goalkeepers and building trust with the parents, but the parents, it's their job too, Camille, to teach the goalkeepers to trust the coaches and give them those tools and teach them how to, because the thing is that I think a lot of the times it starts at home. And if the goalkeeper's not being taught to respect the goalkeeper coach,
I agree with that, but I will also tell you there's a point in there that parents need to stick up for their kids. Cause I've had multiple conversations with parents in club that their kids are getting, whether it's verbally just ripped to shreds or not supported, and have that open line of communication with me and say, well, maybe we need to find them another club and to find out what's going on. Because there is a point that your parents do have to step in, because they are children, and we're developing, as we said in the beginning, good people as well. Yeah. And so if that's going against with the parents, if you're not doing that, then you have every right to check your coach. Sorry, you do. I'm like, this is my kid.
You know, I really agree with you guys. And then, Siska, this is perfect what you say. But you know, it's so many clubs. It's so many places when people can see how they are, how people work other places. So this is all about connection. If parents infect their kid and make you in the face of the goalkeeper of yourself, as you're a bad coach or do something wrong, of course, try the grass is maybe better on the other side of the bridge. Yeah. So just go and check it. But what I want to say, you here in Norway, we see very quick from which kind of family they come from, because Norwegian, they are kind of kind. Yeah. I don't have that kind of problems, but I have problems with the people who come in with a family when parents may be too aggressive. A little bit, yeah, which is in fact goalkeeper who become not disciplined. And so my connection always was first when I open a goalkeeper academy, I meet the parents, I write the rules, tell them how we're working, explain them, protest, like very quick, tell them I don't need a help, this is me, or you trust me or you don't trust me. So that was the rules. And actually, this works. I have a couple of situations when the second goalkeeper was disappointed, which is normal, So I have to find solution how I can develop them, because often main coaches with the youth, they are also here in Norway, they won't have results. So they don't use the second goalie in the right time, the right moment. So This was the thing that we actually struggle for the place where this goalkeeper can develop himself, because the best development is to play in the matches. So I understand frustration, and this was actually right frustration, because he's supposed to play in this age until 14, 15 years old. So this was the right frustration, but I take to my chest and I take my critic for this. But this is only one problem. But I think this was the key to tell the parents the rules from the beginning.
Yeah. Well, we're going to start wrapping up right here, because I know, Camille, I know for you it's like, I don't know, midnight or something like that right now.
Come on. Guys, I really enjoy it. Actually, I was a little bit afraid to be here. And I was really tired, but I enjoy it a lot. So thank you so much to have me here. And Saskia, happy birthday, I think.
Oh, thank you.
But before we wrap up right here, we do have a few more questions in the comment section. We can't get to all of them. I apologize, everybody. If you want to, for those of you guys who are not on there yet, you got to join the Union goalkeeping app. It is free. We also have a premium service where you can get exclusive content from top names out there. We have interactive breakdown sessions where you can have your own film broken down by top people such as Saskia or myself or other pro coaches and players out there. So just check out all that stuff. It's at theunionsports.com or the Union Goalkeeping Community on Apple or Google Play stores. But I do want to throw up this question right here from Harrison Hipgrave, who I believe is an outfield player who's got a friend who's a goalkeeper. And he goes, my friend Caleb Newth is an up-and-coming goalkeeper but had a rough game today. Any advice on how to get confidence back up for them again?
Well, I love that you're reaching out. Like, first of all, that shows that you really care about him and you have a good connection. I think that's awesome, being a field player and saying, hey, you had a rough game. But you know what? Just that, I can already tell, just that energy, and you just next day in practice, honestly, just say, hey, you know, let's shake it off. It was a rough day. I have tons of rough games. Look at how many shots I missed, like, or something like that. And just like lift him up. But the fact that I already know you're going to do that because you just reached out to us and asked us. So you're on the right track, period. Just, you know, we all have bad games. We all have everything. You know, if he wants to work on something, maybe you're like, hey, you know, do you want to take some crosses or do some long balls? Or do you want to do something after practice together to help like pump him up a little bit? You can always do that as well.
Definitely. This was perfect what you say. And so I can just say some things also. This is next match about 2-3 days. So just forget it, because if you start thinking about it a lot, this is stays in your mind, it stays in your blood circulation. Just go forward, next one, because next one is counting.
Yeah, you know, and I just want to say, you know, Harrison, you know, and please tell us where in the world you're watching the show from, because we always love to hear from everybody. You know, this whole episode has been about building trust. I can already tell that your club, your youth club, you all have some real solid trust with each other, and you've built a really solid trust.
Absolutely.
With your own goalkeeper. The fact that you're willing to reach out like that means that you all have that connection and you're both looking out for each other, because I guarantee you that goalkeeper, Caleb, will be doing the exact same thing for you, and that's how you build a successful
framework. Yeah, and I'll tell you, get Caleb on the Union and have Caleb put up some of his clips and ask us any questions he wants to ask, and we can talk to him about some stuff as well and work on maybe what he struggled on in the game. We're always here for you.
Absolutely. And also, Harrison, impressive. I was just thinking about this. This has actually made my head explode here, a head-exploding moment right here. any outfield players who are out there right now, get on the Union too and start sharing any questions you have about goalkeepers that might be able to be beneficial to you as an outfield player, because I think we really do need to improve that language and that understanding between the outfield players and the goalkeepers.
Yeah, for sure. So, but great. Awesome reaching out.
Love it. I absolutely love it. Well, Camille, thanks for taking all the time, man. I'm glad that I was able to connect with Anthony and make this happen. We definitely have to stay in touch.
Yeah, you got to come on again for sure.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Absolutely. If people want to connect with you, where's the best place for them to connect with you?
With me, yeah. And definitely, I think Instagram, Facebook, I think Instagram is the right place, because I'm not that, Twitter person.
It's okay, neither am I.
We'll get you on the Union, so you're only going there.
Yeah. Okay, awesome. No, it was a huge pleasure to be here and an honor. Definitely, guys, if you need something from me, let me know. I'm in the right moment to move myself a little bit. Maybe it will be a different country. After 14 years here and building enough, I have to follow and building myself as a goalkeeper and personally, maybe other country. Who knows? Maybe it will be not far away from you. Let me know if you want to see the Norway or something, and I can help you with our goalies people connection here or something. I'm definitely open for this. So I live in Oslo right now, which is beautiful city, warm city. So if you have some plans for the vacation or do you want to change them, you know where to come. So you're welcome.
I love I love it. And obviously, you know, you can reach out to us guys at contact@insidethe18media.com or at Goalkeeper Podcast on the Union Goalkeeper app. If you have a guest suggestion or a topic suggestion, Saskia Weber, you can reach out to her at Saskia_Weber or on the Union at Saskia. And myself, you can reach out to at Michael Magid on all socials or on the Union. It's also at Michael Magid because I am not as creative as some other people out there. That's all the time on Inside the 18, and we are out. Later, guys.
Bye.